So, Kevin, I have a question to ask you this week.
You always do. Go ahead.
Well, you know, did we see the Raiders quarterback of the future on Thursday night?
If you mean Derek Carr, I'm not sure anymore.
Well, I was actually talking about Mullins. Because if I'm the Raiders, I'm trained for that guy yesterday.
Yeah. No, what I'm wondering is he on a rookie contract like all the other guys, or what's the deal?
Yeah, he was an undrafted rookie free agent on their practice squad.
That just spells disaster, though. It just feels like, yeah, we're gonna get this guy who was awesome, you know, on a Thursday night game and kick the Raiders' butt, and he's gonna come to the Raiders and he's gonna suck.
Okay, I have a legitimate question to ask you, and
I like how you do these Raider questions. It's like, no, this is a real one. You know, I'm not going to tease you.
No, because it's hard because you don't know. I mean, I know when it's not joking Raider bashing. I've been through this before with the Kansas City when they had some rough times. And I know there was a season we were really bad. It was the year we ended up with the number one pick where we took Eric Fisher. But that team quit on Romeo Crennel, and Crennel got fired after that. John Gruden's obviously not getting fired, but it sure seems from what I saw, especially in that second half Thursday night, there's a lot of this team that feels like it's starting to quit, at least for this season on John Gruden.
Yeah,
as they say, they're going into business for themselves.
Yeah, it's fans are divided right now. There's a group of fans like myself that are saying, you know, fire sale, fine, build for the future. Got to give Gruden a chance here, which I'm going to do for the next couple of years, and the rest are saying otherwise. It felt like that. It felt like I'll be honest with you. After the first field goal, because going into that game, it just didn't feel right. And it's honestly, as a Raider fan, and I'm going to get to your question, as a Raider fan, it's really hard to watch them right now. It really is.
I mean, I've been there, so I understand where you're coming from.
It's just bad product, basically. You know, and I say product because, you know, we don't own these teams. We're not making money from these teams. We're spending money on these teams, hence it's a product to a certain degree, and it's hard to support something. It's like trying to watch a show that you like that just jumped the shark and went really bad, you know. And you know, you know, there's fans out there who say, "Well, you're not a real fan. You have to sit through everything." I'm like, no, I don't. I'm a real fan, but I don't have to sit through crap. So when the Raiders did that field goal, I think it was on their first or second possession, whatever it was. I had to get up real early the next morning, and I was tired, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to watch this. I really don't. And then when I woke up the next morning, I saw the score, and I'm like, yeah, it didn't surprise me, you know? So in a way I was kind of like, wow, I'm glad I didn't have to sit through that. You know, I felt kind of a relief, but of course then I had to deal with all the backlash of people talking about what happened and how the Raiders quit. And I went back and watched some of the low lights or highlights, however you want to call them. And so, you know, yeah, I think that there's some members that are frustrated, you know, and it's easy to say quit to a certain degree, but, you know, they're getting paid. They have to do a job. I don't see a lot of these players returning for obvious reasons. But it was reminiscent of old days of Raider. But, you know, being a Raider fan, we've seen this for many, many years, especially during the Jamarcus Russell and Dennis Allen days and stuff like that. So did they quit? Maybe a few of them, I'm sure. But, Carr seems to be standing strong. He's like, I'm not quitting, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. But, poor Carr just did not have any time, didn't have any protection. That pocket was collapsing all the time from what I was seeing in the low lights.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of this game, and I gotta defend Derek Carr a little bit here in the aspect of your offensive line is incredibly banged up, and you got guys playing way out of position. You had tackles playing guards playing tackle. It was a mess. Yeah. There was a couple of those sacks that Carr could have probably thrown the ball away or scrambled a little bit more. And I think Derek Carr might be getting into a little bit of phase of shell shock at this point.
I would agree with that completely. He's running scared basically. It's one of those things where, like, people want him to show a little more emotion, you know, and they said, oh, it's not his character. You know, they want him to kind of, you know, get mean, you know. Remember that famous scene in Dodgeball, you know, when the coach says, I want you to get mean. That's what Derek Carr needs to do. And they say, oh, it's not in his not his character, but you know what? A character has to, a person has to kind of evolve a little bit and realize, you know, if you're going to be a leader of a team, you're going to have to do stuff like that. You know, I mean, we've seen Tom Brady get mad on the sidelines. You know, when you see that, he's yelling at people, you know, and it's fun to see that, especially if they're losing. But he's doing that because he's passionate about that. You know, I want to see that. And even Aaron Rodgers does that. And I've seen a lot of these, you know, soon to be, you know, gold jacket wearing quarterbacks, leaders of their teams, getting like showing this type of emotion, you know, getting angry at stuff, you know, calling people out, do your job type of thing. And that, you'll hear Brady say it all the time. Do your job. Do your freaking job, you know. And, you know, he's in a position to where he can say that and get away with it. I don't know if Derek Carr feels that. I don't know.
Okay. Two things on this. First of all, I think you're exactly right about Derek Carr showing emotion. In fact, I read an article today on SportsIllustrated.com where they talk about how Baker Mayfield has already won over the Cleveland locker room. And one of the examples they used was actually the Tampa Bay game from a couple weeks ago where he ran like a 35-yard scramble, got destroyed at the end of the run, but came up yelling, "Yeah, bring it, you bleep bleep."
Yeah, and then you can tell. That's the type of thing that I want to see from Carr. And I'm getting tired of Carr's game interviews. You know, it's all the same thing. It kind of reminds me of the same crap Dennis Allen used to say, you know. And it's one of those things where I want to see him. I want to see him man up a little bit, you know. He needs to. You need to have a certain attitude to play this game. You need to have some. You need to have a little. What do they say? Mojo, chutzpah, whatever it is. You know, little grit, and I want to see that.
Well, okay. Here's what I'm gonna say, and I truly believe this, and then we'll move on to the rest of the show. I think it is time for a change of scenery for Derek Carr. I think it would be best for Derek Carr. I think it would be best for the Raiders because obviously John Gruden is really wanting to build this team from the ground up in his image. I think he inherited Derek Carr. He was willing to give it a chance. I don't think it's working. I think it's for a myriad of reasons.
Hold on one second. They've only been together for 8 months. Okay. There needs to be some stability here. I'm not giving up on Carr, and I don't. And I think if these two start to work together more and understand each other more, and maybe Carr learns what you know Gruden wants from him, whether it's to man him up a little bit or become the leader that he should be, this stuff takes time. You can't judge on 8 months. You know, and at least. I'm the half full guy, and I'm going to say I'm going to let this go. But if it doesn't happen after the next, like, you know, year and a half, 2 years or whatever, then yeah, let's change things. Well, you know,
and here's the only reason why I say this, Kevin. It's not normally jumping the gun. Usually I would say give it more time to. I think the Raiders, considering what they're trying to do, because I really do think they're trying to build the ground up. So when they're moving to Vegas, they're young and they're up and coming. And I think they are stockpiling draft picks. And I can think of at least two teams off the top of my head that if the quarterback class is not real big in this year's draft, if I'm them, I'm at least making calls to the Raiders to find out. And I think that's the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think both of them are in dire quarterback straits. I think Gruden is comfortable going out and getting.
I've heard of the New York thing, by the way. Yeah.
I think Gruden is comfortable going out and getting a veteran for a couple of years until he can find the quarterback. Because I'm going to say this, and again, I've had experience up close and personal with Gruden and his Tampa years. Gruden likes a quarterback he can work with, and I don't know if him and Derek Carr have the same mindset. I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying off of what I've observed and what I know about Gruden from his time here and obviously what you know about his time in the Raiders. I think the Raiders really do control their own destiny over the next years with all the draft picks they've acquired. And I'm really curious to see what is going to be happening. I look at the other teams that are struggling this year, and the difference I see between them is like, I look at the 49ers, they have had a ton of injuries. I look at Arizona, they just lacking in talent. I think the Raiders are definitely, this is a 2-year rebuild plan to start being good as they're heading to Vegas. And I feel bad for fans in Oakland that they're having to go through this the last couple of years the Raiders are there.
Well, it's what surprises me is these fans that are saying, you know, the biggest problem that I have is that a lot of these fans, when Gruden went to Ricky's and said, you know, we're gonna bring a championship to Oakland, you know, before we leave, type of thing. And I think too many fans held him to that like it was this promise that he made, you know, that like you wrote it in blood, and now they're all disappointed and mad at Gruden because that's not going to happen, you know. And it's like, you know, don't be a new Raider fan, guys. We've sucked for this many years, and it's like I did not take that as a guarantee, you know. And be honest with you, I didn't see that happening. We weren't going to get a championship in Oakland. You know, the way things happened last year and what was happening, I was hoping we'd be competitive, but I was realistic about that. But there's too many people are just dissecting every single word that Gruden has said and trying to, you know, use that as a point of contention to why he sucks and, you know, and this is the biggest disappointment ever, you know. So.
Yeah. No. Well, moving on, of course, this is the end zone and this is going to be our week 9 wrap up and look at week 10 coming up. So, let's start with first telling you where you can find The End Zone and all the other great shows here at the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts on our master feed at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find us on your mobile devices, whether it's through the Podbean app, just search Fandom Podcast Network, or you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for your Android device users, and now Spotify, Kevin.
That's exciting, man. That's really, really cool. I'm having trouble remembering Spotify. Spotify. I'll get it.
Spotify. There you go. You got it. Of course, you can visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us and tell us we're talking way too much Raiders and Chiefs at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com.
Never!
You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at Fan Pod Network. I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleMahomes. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. AKyleFandom. AKyleFandom.
Did you hear that? Did you hear my eyes roll?
Yeah, that was quite the audible eyes roll.
Yeah.
Three more touchdowns this week, by the way, Kevin. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. I was trying to come up with some witty, you know, my Raiders are disappointing me fake address, and I was just like, I couldn't do it.
It's tough. I understand. It's tough. Like I said, it's to the point where I honestly try not to joke about it anymore because I've been there myself. Kansas City had some rough years not that long ago. So
that's it.
So let's talk about
Go ahead.
Let's talk about week 9. And some of the other games, obviously we discussed Thursday night's game already. Let's talk about one of the biggest matchups, I think, of week 9. And that was the AFC North battle between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. And the Steelers pretty much dominated the Ravens. The Ravens looked terrible in this game, Kevin.
Yeah, we were expecting a little bit more from them. They were playing at home. We were thinking their defense was all that. Their offense as well, not so much. Antonio Brown too, one reception TD in 6 straight games. He's there's a guy who you know, showing up and doing his job.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. Nathan Peterman started for the Bills, which means Bears 41, Bills 9. Lots of turnovers in that game.
That's a score of 41-9. 9 is that 3 field goals.
No, actually, I think it was a touchdown with a missed 2-point conversion and a field goal. But real quick, fun stat, Nathan Peterman has 6 touchdowns thrown in his career, 3 to his own team, 3 to other teams.
Why is he? You know what? Why don't they just go off and get somebody off the street? I bet you they'd be doing better.
I feel bad for him in this aspect.
It's
bad
when he sucks. Well, get rid of him.
It's bad when EJ Manuel is trolling you on social media after the game.
I don't feel bad for that guy at all. That's the Bills' fault right there. Yeah. He's still on that roster. There's other hungry quarterbacks out there that they can go get. That's ridiculous.
Colin Kaepernick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. That is all on the Bills right now. I'm sorry. Why Nathan Peterman is still on that team? # Kevin hates Nathan Peterman. There you go.
Okay, there we go. I think it's time we take the Carolina Panthers as a serious contender in the NFC.
Yep.
They beat the Buccaneers 42-28. I watched a lot of this game, and they looked impressive. They've got a big game Thursday night coming up. We'll
talk
about
that. Can we write off the Buccaneers, too? Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no more Fitzmagic, sorry.
Yeah. What was this, too? Panthers scored a franchise record 35 first half points. Oh, God.
Yeah, it was ugly. Kansas City, as I said earlier, Patrick Mahomes, 3 more touchdowns. Kareem Hunt with a huge day, including a 50-yard touchdown reception that he did most of the work on, but they handled the Cleveland Browns 37-21.
Dude, hold on. The stat, though, from Patrick Mahomes is pretty amazing. 300-plus passing yards in 8 straight games.
Correct. He will be tying. If he gets it next week, he breaks Drew Brees' longest streak.
Jeez.
Yeah. I think they made the right decision by going with him over Alex Smith, but that's a whole other thing. And in the sleep fest game of the day, the Miami Dolphins won 13-6 over the New York Jets.
Really, Miami's sixth win in franchise history with 0 offensive TDs.
That's pretty sad. The Minnesota Vikings had 10 sacks of Matthew Stafford as they beat the Lions 24-9. I saw a lot of this game on Red Zone. Matthew Stafford should be suing for battery from his offensive line, lack of protection.
Well, being a Raider fan, I know how he felt.
The Atlanta Falcons are feeling froggy. They're back in the playoff mix, possibly, with a 38-14 win over the Redskins to get themselves back to .500. That offense is loaded, Kevin.
It is. Defense, did okay against Redskins. That really surprised me. I thought there was going to be a lot closer game there.
Yeah. In the Demaryius Thomas Bowl, the Houston Texans win 19-17 as Denver misses a field goal at the end of the game. And after the game, Demaryius Thomas says, yeah, it's nice to be in a place where they win because that's what they do over there.
Well, he's right, because Texans have won six straight games. First time since 2012. Wow.
Yeah.
Take them seriously now.
Yep. Is it time to say San Diego's finally figured, or LA Chargers have finally figured it out, Kevin? They're 6-2.
They are 6-2, but they still have to win playoff games.
Yeah, but I mean, just in the aspect of they went to Seattle and beat a very tough Seattle Seahawks team in one of the toughest places to play in the NFL.
Is it that tough anymore? I don't know. Yeah.
It's still very tough.
Because the other LA teams got up there and beat them, and Arizona's beat them up there. It's not as tough as it used to be.
Yeah.
The 12th man is kind of going,
Well, we have no
12th man. Come on.
We have no more undefeated teams as the New Orleans Saints, 7-1 and on a 7-game win streak, beat the LA Rams 45-35 with a little help from a cell phone.
Yes, a little recreation of Joe Horn action there. By the way, I did not find out, but did he get flagged for that?
Oh yeah, he got flagged and he's got fined.
Okay, good. Then that's the tradition, just like Joe Horn did.
What's funny? What's funny is I have a friend of mine and his sister has been to 2 Saint games in her life. Both of the first was the Joe Horn cell phone game and last week's game.
Oh, how funny. Wow. That is great. Michael Thomas, 211 receiving yards, a franchise record. He's the real deal, man. So Saints lose their first game. We thinking, oh, they're not all that. And boom, 7 straight wins. They are up there at the NFC top right now with the Rams as the contenders to go to the NFC championship game.
Yep. We're going to talk a little bit more about that too. New England Patriots rolling. Green Bay 500 after 8 games for the first, under 500 after 8 games for the first time since 2005. The Patriots beat the Packers 31-17. Green Bay just does not look right. And I think we might be seeing a coaching change there at the end of the season if this keeps up. And Monday night, the Tennessee Titans all over the Dallas Cowboys, 28-14. The Dallas Cowboys should be embarrassed at the show they put on in that game, especially in the second half.
That was at Dallas, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Dallas isn't going anywhere until Jerry Jones steps aside.
Yeah. Let's see. The Bengals beat the bye. The Colts tied with the bye. The Jaguars and Cardinals lost to the bye. The Eagles beat the bye. And the Giants forfeited against the bye this week. So.
Well played.
So let's take a quick look at the NFL power rankings because we got a new number one team atop the power rankings, Kevin.
A new number one team. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
These are the CBS Sports power rankings. And pretty much across the board or any power rankings you look at, the New Orleans Saints are now the number one team atop the power rankings, rightfully so. They're 7-1. They beat the Rams. They got the tiebreaker. They're the number one seed in the NFC. You've got the Patriots coming in at number 2. They're just rolling along. The Rams dropped to number 3-8-1. Kansas City at 8-1 at number 4. Interesting game coming up November 12th, Kevin. Kansas City Rams, Monday Night Football, Mexico City.
That is going to be an interesting game. A fun game to watch.
They might break 100 combined in that game. San Diego Chargers in at number 5. Funny thing about the Chargers, every team they've played has had a 500 or that they've beat has had a 500 or below record. They've lost to the two winning teams they've played.
Yeah, when you see those type of stats, you know that's not going to last very long.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we had them written off earlier in the year, but 5-2-1. James Conner just continues to roll on in a huge game Thursday night against a team at number 7, the Carolina Panthers. This might be the game of the week, Kevin.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's going to be a good one.
The Minnesota Vikings looking like they've corrected a lot of things coming in at number 8. The Houston Texans, a team I don't think teams are going to want to see in the playoffs if they're keeping like this. Deshaun Watson looks like the Deshaun Watson of last year, Kevin.
Yes, and it seems like they're getting some the running game going there as well. Defense is kicking in here, but are you agreeing with them at 9 and not the Bears?
Yeah, I am agreeing with them at 9 and not the Bears. Okay. The Bears
are 10.
Yeah, the Bears are 10. That seems about right, but I'm just not sold on the Bears yet. The Bengals at 11. AJ Green injured but will not need surgery but might miss a couple of weeks. The Eagles at 12, and they had a very beneficial bye week as basically everybody in the East that was ahead of them, both Dallas and Philly, lost. So they gained ground without even having to play.
You mean Dallas and Washington?
Yeah, Dallas and Washington. I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct. And with Golden Tate now in the mix, I think Carson Wentz could be looking at putting up some big numbers because I think a combination of Tate and Jeffries
makes Golden Tate, the because of tough. The trade, ended up having 2 bye weeks back to back.
Yeah. Talk about getting healthy at the right time. The Packers at 13, at 3-4-1, with the Falcons at 14. I think I'd put the Falcons ahead of the Panthers right now, Kevin.
You mean the Packers?
Oh, the Packers, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I even put the Redskins above the Packers.
Yeah, and the Redskins are at 15. Following out the rest, you're looking at the Dolphins at 16, Ravens at 17, Seahawks at 18, Titans at 19, Colts at 20, and then basically the also-rans from there on out. So that is the power rankings for week after the events of week 9. But let's talk some NFL news.
Hold on real quick. Before we leave the power rankings, I was just like, oh, wait, are the Raiders number 32? And they were like, nope, they're at 31 right now. But right above them at 30, because Giants are at 32 right now, but above them at 30 is the Bills. And even they say Peterman should not be starting anywhere. Sorry, go ahead. I just had to mention that.
Okay. That's quite good. So let's talk some NFL news, and let's start with the Dallas Cowboys, who did not look real good Monday night against the Tennessee Titans and calling way too many run plays, especially when they bring in Amari Cooper, who's supposed to change the passing game, and they kind of forgot about him. Well,
he did get a touchdown, though.
Yeah, he actually did look pretty good in that game from when they did try to throw to him. But one Cowboy Hall of Famer has had enough. One Troy Aikman went on Dallas radio and basically blasted everybody from Jerry Jones down, saying the team needs a major shakeup, including a new head coach.
Yeah, it starts with Jerry Jones. He has to get his fingers. He needs to get out of that kitchen and step back.
And is this kind of like what we, you know, when Al Davis finally realized he had to kind of step back from the Raiders somewhat, and Jerry Jones needs to kind of come to that realization?
No. See, that's the problem. Al Davis never stepped back until he died. You know, it wasn't until his son came in, and then after that, shortly, he's like, you know, I need to hire someone that knows something, you know, knows better than I do, and hired Reggie McKenzie, and got us out of cap hell. Jerry Jones, you know, needs to stop being, because he's the coach as well as the owner, you know, and he needs to just step back and let someone else run that team. And then hire a coach, because he's just got a yes man down there.
Well, you look back. Barry Switzer won that Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's football team. Cowboys' greatest run came when he didn't have a yes man ex coach. He had a guy who stand up to him, and
yep, he hired Jimmy Johnson. Because Jimmy Johnson wasn't a yes man. So yeah.
Yep.
And Barry Switzer did win with that team.
So it looks like Le'Veon Bell might finally be coming back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as he had a little tweet on Twitter saying, "So long, Miami," where he's been spending his extended vacation training. But the problem is, I don't. From what I hear coming out of Pittsburgh, they really don't care, because James Conner has been a fine for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What I'm re- let me ask you this. I mean, personally, we don't. You know, I think we can kind of say we're kind of sick of Le'Veon Bell right now, and we're holding him at fault for, to a certain degree, of not showing up and, you know, and being a team player. I feel like he's kind of getting this Dez Bryant treatment now, and he might be getting it with other teams. I don't think other teams are going to, if they show interest in him, I don't think they're going to pay him the money that he was expecting in the first place. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's very much hurt his stock this year by not playing. Here's the deal, and I don't care how good you are, running backs have a very short lifespan in the NFL. And Le'Veon Bell has been trying to get paid as the best all-around offensive weapon for the last 3 years. He wants to be the highest paid offensive player on whatever team he goes to, even higher paid than the quarterback. He wants that kind of money.
That's not happening. That is not happening.
And by sitting out, here's what's going to happen. Le'Veon Bell, if he does not report after this week's game by next Tuesday, he will be considered a lost season, and the Steelers will retain his rights for one more year, which means they could let him go or they could franchise tag him again. But under those circumstances, they could also trade him. But the issue is, nobody is going. The best thing that could happen is the Steelers just need to let him come in, put him on the roster, bench him, and let him sit and rot, and then just say, see you later. We are done with your headache of a problem. We're going to save a ton of money on our salary cap. We can't trade. We obviously couldn't trade you, or we didn't want to trade you. And so good luck trying to get that big contract after not playing for a full year.
Yeah. 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 I can't side with the reason why he was doing it. I'm sorry. You know, he wants guaranteed money, and he wants to protect himself in the future and stuff, but I did not appreciate the way that he went about doing this.
Yeah, and you know, this has been an ongoing thing. I side with any player who's going to protest the franchise tag. I do have an issue with the franchise tag. A one-time deal, that's one thing. But to be franchised 3 years in a row, that should not be allowed. It should be, you can be franchised once, and that is it.
I agree with that. I didn't realize that until recently, that you could do that more than 1 year. And I learned that through this Le'Veon Bell thing.
Well, and that's what happened with Kirk Cousins in Washington, too. He was franchised 3 years in a row, and then after the third year, you can't. It's like the franchise number just becomes so ridiculous that no team would do it. So, but yeah, it's just a mess, and the NFL needs to revisit this franchise tag situation at the end of the season. But, well, Kevin, we also have more changes in the NFL schedule for television, because there's been more flexing. And, hey, it does not involve the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin.
Oh, really? I was hoping to see them on prime time from here on out.
No, that's, well, you know, the NFL is trying to set up the Mahomes channel. So.
Did you smell that sarcasm I had?
I know, but I just don't pay attention to that.
Well played.
The NFL Network is spinning off instead of the Red Zone channel, it will be the Mahomes channel. That was another audible eye roll there, ladies and gentlemen. But in this case, what is happening is on the game that was scheduled for Sunday, November 18th, which would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers at Jacksonville Jaguars, has been flexed out of that game Sunday night, and instead it will be the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears into that game. And what will happen is the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game will be moved to 1 o'clock, and Philadelphia at New Orleans will be moved from 1 o'clock to 4:25. Calais Campbell of the Jaguars, when asked about this development, said, "We didn't earn it. We didn't earn it at all. They want to see teams that they feel like are going to be contenders. And honestly, we have to earn that right again." So good on Calais Campbell.
Oh, man. He said that spot on. Well played. Yeah.
Totally. I've always had respect for that guy. So I actually like this change, because really, that's a game for first place in the NFC North at this point.
Yeah.
Two teams that are good. And I like the fact that New Orleans, Philadelphia gets to that 4:25 nationally televised game spot too.
Can they, I would like them to flex the Thursday night games back into Sunday. That'd be great.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't. The only Sunday night games are the only thing that can be flexed at this point. So, but you know what? That's just the way of the NFL. But we've kind of looked back now. We've looked at the news. We've looked at Week 9. Let's take a look ahead to Week 10. Week 10 already, Kevin.
Wow, Week 10. Jeez. It's been a long year.
So let's take a look, and I think we kick off. And looking at the schedule, to me, this is the game of the week on Thursday night. And I have to admit, the Thursday night games, for the most part this year, have been a big improvement to the previous seasons.
Except this last one. But,
well, yeah. Well, you know, the battle for the Bay, or should I say the quest for number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this week's Thursday night game, we've got the Carolina Panthers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a great matchup for Thursday night, Kevin.
I think so. Both these teams are playing to, you know, stay competitive in their division, and this is important. And I think it's going to be a good game. At least I hope it is. I will probably not be watching it, though.
Yeah, no, I will check it out best I can, but we'll see. In what I call a snooze game, Buffalo at New York Jets.
Move along.
Yeah, moving along. Atlanta at Cleveland. You know, if nothing else, it is still fun to watch Baker Mayfield play football.
If he's healthy, right?
Yeah, if he survives the rest of the season. But
hey, guess what? They played Duke Johnson.
Yeah, and Nick Chubb. They both had pretty good fantasy games. Moving along, we've got New Orleans at Cincinnati. This is kind of an interesting matchup because Cincinnati's kind of in this point where they might really need to kind of win a football game.
Marvin Lewis needs to go after this year.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if he'll still be there. New Orleans is rolling right now. They look like the team to beat in the NFC. It's either them or the Rams. If any other team's in the Super Bowl besides one of those representing the NFC, I will be shocked. Washington is at Tampa Bay. I'm going to throw, this might be a game that Tampa Bay can win. Washington is really banged up. They're missing like 3 starting offensive linemen right now.
Yeah, that's not good.
So this could be a game Tampa Bay and Fitzmagic step up. New England at Tennessee. Yeah, I think we all know what's going to happen there. Miami at Green Bay.
Well, hold on. Tennessee, I think, could make this close.
I just don't see that happening, but hey, we'll see. New England's a lot different than Dallas.
This is true.
Yeah. Miami at Green Bay. Can I almost say don't care?
Don't care. With you.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis. This game actually has some intriguing because Jacksonville's season's basically on the line. If they lose this, they're done.
I think they're done. I think they're done already.
And I got to give Indianapolis credit. They've been playing some game football. Even though they have a lack of talent, they've been playing some football.
I'm calling Jacksonville's season. They're done. Yeah.
Chicago at Detroit. Another interesting game.
It's Detroit at Chicago.
At Chicago. If I'm Matthew Stafford, I'm a little afraid at this point.
Yeah, Khalil Mack should be back. He's healthy. I think he's going to be healthy.
And so, Chicago's defense ate Peterman alive, and Detroit's offensive line is actually worse than Buffalo's, I think.
Yeah.
So, Arizona, Kansas City.
God, you guys are getting the easy games, man. Jeez, Cleveland, Arizona. Ugh.
You played those teams.
You guys are, yeah, but we suck.
Yeah, that's just how the schedule falls. Trust me, it gets a lot harder for us. We had a pretty tough start of the season schedule, and it gets harder for us after this game because then we have the Rams on Monday night. So I think, you know, we're a little entitled to a bye week before the Rams. The LA Chargers at Oakland, Kevin. Can you man up at all?
I don't know, man. It's weird too because we hate Chargers right now and Phillip Rivers, you know. Unfortunately, they just have our number every time it seems like, you know, and Phillip Rivers likes to remind us of this.
Yeah. You've got Seattle at the LA Rams. I got to ask you a question about this because the line is the Rams favored by 10. Last time these two played, the Rams squeaked out a win against Seattle. I'm a little surprised.
Was that at Seattle, though?
It was at Seattle, but still, I'm surprised this line is at 10.
Yeah, I got to sit on that one. Part of me is like, yeah, I am, but then I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. You've got Dallas at Philadelphia on the Sunday night game. Yeah, this should be Philly.
Yeah.
And then the question of all questions is, how did the San Francisco 49ers get back-to-back primetime games as they were playing the New York Giants at the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football?
I don't get this scheduling.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe it looked good when we thought that Jimmy GQ was going to be the quarterback, you know, but...
The bigger question will be is, what will Nick Mullins look like in start number two? Should Jimmy GQ be worried?
I know, right? Well, they've paid him, so we'll see.
Yeah. So that is a look at week 10. Still can't believe that. But we're going to take a quick break here so you can find out what else is going on here around the Fandom Podcast Network. And then we'll be back with our trademark mediocre fantasy football advice.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So now that you know what's going on around here at the Fandom Podcast Network, we hope you're enjoying not only the End Zone, but all the great shows we put out. But Kevin, it's time for that weekly tradition of classic, top-notch, mediocre fantasy football advice.
We do provide that, don't we?
Yeah. And of course, as always, it starts with our Jimmy GQ Man Crush of the Week. I have mine. Do you have yours?
Yes. But you go first.
My Man Crush of the Week is Michael Cellphone Thomas. Maybe the most underrated wide receiver still in the NFL. This guy can't seem to get any respect. People don't talk about him. Everybody would been talking about Adam Thielen all year and his streak of 100-yard games, which did end this week, mind you. But no, this guy just manned up huge for the New Orleans Saints in the biggest game of their season and was impressive, and he gets bonus points for Joe Horn's cell phone tribute.
I would agree with you on that. And fantasy players picked up on him. I mean, they know about him. He's kind of a plug-in play and forget about. But my Man Crush Award is going to go to the guy that threw him that touchdown, and that's Drew Brees. I have huge respect for Drew Brees and the fact that, they went up against, an undefeated team that was looking to be, probably the number one, NFC team to get to the Super Bowl and beat them. I love Drew Brees. I think he's a great guy, great quarterback, great leader, and shows a lot of passion. And that's where my man crush lies this week.
In fact, I want to ask you, because this is about the third or fourth time one of us has named Drew Brees this season. Is it time to add him to the retirement list for the season?
Let's add him.
Okay. Now, here we go, Kevin. Yeah, for all the good, there is the bad. And it's time to kick somebody off and make them swim back to the mainland, because we're kicking them off Fantasy Island.
I've got mine.
Go for it.
I was listening to Matthew Berry on ESPN, who's, their fantasy guru.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to expel an entire team off of Fantasy Island. And that is going to be my Oakland Raiders.
You're completely taking them off Fantasy Island.
Yes. Even Jared Cook, who is probably one of the most productive guys on there. I'm getting all of them. And I think Matthew Berry said it best, that the Raiders are a fantasy dumpster fire. And we don't want dumpster fires on Fantasy Island, do we? So no, they are not. Off everyone of the Raiders, including Derek Carr. I don't have any Raiders except for Doug Martin, and I'm going to be dropping him for someone else off the waiver wire. I don't want to have anything to do with the team that I love on fantasy right now.
That's kind of sad, but I can get it. As for me, Kevin, I'm not doing a whole team, but I'm doing one side of a whole team. Jacksonville Jaguars defense, you are officially kicked off Fantasy Island.
Yes, it's so funny too, because I'm almost afraid. I haven't dropped him yet, because I have usually where I have them, I have like another defense I've been kind of, you know, flex playing. And they just came back from their bye week though. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens before I drop them, but I'm with you there. And I want to, you know how we kind of put some teams or players on notice? I want to put the running back and wide receivers for the Baltimore Ravens on notice right now.
I think you can put the whole offense on notice for the Baltimore Ravens.
I had both Michael Crabtree and I'm sorry, who's the other guy?
Willie Snead?
No, Brown. John Brown. That's right.
Oh, John Brown, yes.
On teams, and they both sucked it up.
Yeah. I've got somebody who I'm going to put on notice, because he's coming back from an injury and he's not done anything this season because of this injury.
Dalvin Cook.
But they've sat. No, Dalvin Cook, but Leonard Fournette.
Ah, yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, and he's coming in. He's supposed to be back and starting this week, but they still have TJ Yeldon. They traded for Carlos Hyde. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And that would be my one reservation for the Jacksonville Jaguars defense too, is Leonard Fournette, if he is healthy, is a game changer for Jacksonville, because they become what they should always be in the first place, which is a time of possession team. And that gives that defense some rest. I think that's been part of the problem for Jacksonville, is they become Blake Bortles pass happy, and there's a lot of three and outs, and their defense goes on the field quite a bit. You're bouncing around happy, Kevin.
Yes, because I want to ask you about something in the next topic.
Uh-oh. Well, then let's get to the next topic. What are we going to be talking about? Waiver wire pickups?
Yes. Yes. And something I brought up last week. I want to know where you stand on it now.
Okay.
Because if you were listening to me, you should have picked this guy up last week. Because now he's going to be a big, much more hotter waiver wire. And if you don't have that nice waiver wire position, you might lose him to someone else on your team with a suckier record. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Okay.
Pick him up, Kyle.
I'm still not sold yet.
Oh, yeah, Mr. I have all the best players. I don't need him anyway, guy. Is that you? Is that what it is?
No.
Is that why you're not sold? Because you don't need him because you have such awesome players on all your teams?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't trust any Green Bay wide receiver right now.
Well, you're going to have to trust someone because Geronimo Allison just went on IR.
Yeah, true.
So there you go. Marquez, pick him up now.
Well, I want to talk about somebody I mentioned last week, and I know a lot of people didn't pick him up, but he had another huge game. That's Adam Humphries of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He targeted 10 times last week, including a very long touchdown and a lot of great possession catches. He had 82 yards receiving and a touchdown.
Yeah, I had the other guy that was on a hot streak for a while, and now he's crap streak.
Yeah, so Adam Humphries. But there's a few other things floating around out there. You might be in need of a quarterback, and there's this guy in San Francisco.
Now, keep in mind, hold your temptations. He did play against the Raiders, okay?
Yeah, but he's playing against the Giants this week. I mean, is that really that much of a upgrade?
Okay, point made.
And I don't think they're going to play CJ.
Okay, hold on. I think... It's actually going to be a little bit of downgrade, because I think the Giants are a better team than the Raiders.
Yeah, but not by much. But so if you need to stream a quarterback this week, that might be a way to go as well. So, but we're getting to that point where, yeah, waiver wire pickups are getting kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, that's true. Duke Johnson is still available, and it looks like, hopefully we'll see a trend of him being used more than what was under the last regime.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Now, Kevin, let's talk about our fantasy football leagues. So where should we start, ESPN or NFL?
Oh, let's do the NFL and get it over with.
I love the NFL Trophy League.
I bet you do.
8-1, baby. 8-1.
Yeah, I think now be careful, because when you get into the playoffs, it becomes a different monster. It looks like you may end up with a top seed. You're chasing that trophy, man. It's right there. It's waiting for you. Yeah, Kyle's Commandos at 8-1 with Batmouse Ballers behind you at 7-2.
I'm not going to lie. In this league, I am riding the steal of Patrick Mahomes late in the draft and having Todd Gurley as my number one pick.
What's funny about this is Kat and I are – Kat's in third place. I'm in fourth place. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us that all have the same record at 4-5. That spots 3 through 8, man. It's weird. It really is.
Yeah, speaking of our buddy Kat, I have a trade proposal out there for you have yet to respond to on.
Yeah, he's not going to listen to the show.
Yeah. I know that, but somebody might get the word to him.
Yeah.
But, well, let's talk about the ESPN League, because you talk about the records in this league. The ESPN League is Captain Insano when it comes to how tight everybody is in that league.
Yeah. So you and I are tied pretty much. I'm at number 2 in the East League, and you're at number 3, but there's with both 5-4 records, and there's 3 of us with 5-4 records, and the first down orders and who's in first place is only at 6-3.
And my ball's accurates, which who is last in the East, is at 4-5.
Yeah.
So it's everybody bunched together. And then when you look at the West Division, you've got the 6-3 Walla Walla Webfoots, two teams at 4-5, and 2 teams at 3-6.
Jennifer's team, Charlie's Nuts, is in second place in the West there. Come on, Jen. You're not out of this yet at 4-5. Come on.
Yep. It's been a crazy season for the I've seen this in a lot of fantasy football leagues where there's not been that blow one, those big, like, two teams that just streak out in front of everybody. It seems like everybody's really bunched up, and I think that's just because of the craziness of fantasy football this year and how it's been like nobody. There's not been maybe really realistically, who would you call like the top 5 fantasy players of this year that just seem like they stand out above everybody else?
Patrick Mahomes, Gurley, Thielen.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara.
And Kamara's really been kind of on and off the last few weeks himself. He hasn't been tearing it up, but there hasn't been anybody who's just Kareem Hunt's kind of come on of late. He has Kareem 12 Hunt, touchdowns.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just feels like we haven't had too many dominant fantasy football players this year.
Yeah, there's too many up and down weeks on some of these players that we expected a lot from, you know?
Yeah. But so how are you doing in your other leagues, Kevin?
Well, let's see. I have 2 Yahoo leagues here, and I'm under 500 on one of them, but then there's the Raider Club one where I'm actually in second place, even though I've got the same, I think I'm 1 game behind, but yeah, I'm in second place in that. Cause I gotta represent with my Raider League guys, you know? And then I've talked about before, I got that UK, silver and black UK league that I'm part of that has like only 5 people on the bench and then like 2 flex spots. It's kind of weird. I was in first place, but I lost last week. So now I'm tied for first, I think it is. So, but I'm still doing well though. But it's weird though, because my team just feels kind of patched together, and I don't think I'm going to do well this year because that week 10 where I had a bunch of Minnesota guys like Kirk Cousins and Thielen and stuff, it's going to hurt me. Now I've got Jared Goff starting, but at least I've got Marlon Mack back. And then Kareem Hunt, and then I'm playing both wide receivers from Carolina, DJ Moore and Devin Funches. So
yeah.
Got Chris Carson at least, so
yeah. I'm in a CBS Sports League. I'm in third place in my division, but I'm a half game out of the second place because there was a tie. So it's all a big, like the our ESPN league, everybody's just kind of bunched together. So yeah. There's still a lot of sorting out to go over the next few weeks. But
I got a question for you. I just want to throw this at you. You know our NFL Trophy League?
Yeah.
I'm seriously considering moving that over to ESPN.
You know, there's things I like about the NFL, but their app is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, their app is terrible. Their interface is really bad too. It doesn't, and when it does projections on your team, it doesn't take into account of the scoring options you've changed.
Yeah, no, I agree. So yeah, maybe next year make that move, but we'll see. Now, Kevin, we have to talk about where you are just kicking butt, and that is in head to head matchups this year.
I'm doing all right there. I'm doing all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our weekly football bets, betting on each game. Yeah. And last week, of course, we had to decide whether or not we wanted to keep our 10-point bonus Super Bowl picks of which two teams would make it to the Super Bowl. I kept mine, but you decided to change yours.
Yeah, I changed my AFC team from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Kansas City Chiefs.
And with the L.A. Rams, right?
Yeah, the Rams still has my NFC team.
And I stayed with the Patriots and L.A. Rams as my 10-point, so yours went to 5. I had myself gaining a game on you this week.
Yes, yes. We started off pretty even, but the afternoon games kind of kicked my butt.
So I'm up by 15 now instead of 14.
You're up by 15 plus. I believe you got your pick of the week this week as well.
I did get my pick of the week. Was that
New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah. Yeah, because they were underdogs.
You know, and here's the thing. Sunday morning, that line switched to New Orleans being favored by 2.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. Wow. I remember when the notification that the quarterback for San Francisco changed and then the Raiders became favored. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oops.
A lot of people in Vegas won some money off that bet.
I got to say this, which since we're talking about head-to-head matchups and what Kevin and I do is use the spread for our head-to-head. Vegas has taken a bath the last few weeks on NFL football. There was an article about it. I think it was on ESPN or CNNSI. They have been destroyed the last 3 weeks by NFL bets.
Yeah, there's been some weird lines because, we do bet with the line. And, if we take the underdog, we take the points. And we take that into consideration. So, yeah. But here we are into the second half, man. 15 points ahead of you. There's still lots of football, man.
Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff happens in the last several weeks of the NFL. So
Bob actually, last week I went up 38 on him, which is the largest lead we've ever had doing these football bets since I've been doing it with Bob since like 91, 90, whatever it was. But he actually came back a little bit last week. He beat me, I think it was 8-5, so he gained about 3 points back. So not much, but, still something.
It doesn't matter. We're taking you to Vegas soon.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I think we've pretty much covered everything for the NFL this week, Kevin. As always, it's been a ton of fun. I know it's still hard on you, but you know what? We have a good time here at the End Zone.
We do. We do.
And, unlike the Buffalo Bills with Nathan Peterman at quarterback, Kevin and I will draw up some plays that will take you into the end zone.